Today's Bible reading comes from Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 to 12. Chapter 5, verse 1. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of God.
You know, when you watch movies, there's normally indicator before PG or M for mature audience only, those kind of things. Well, today's topic is a bit of a challenging one, so I want to give you a parental guidance. So year sixes, I hope you all will be okay. Sometimes God's word is quite challenging, quite confronting, but it's always like medicine. It's good. The doctor says it's good for us, and it heals us. So let's pray before we look at God's word together. Father, we come, Lord, as broken people. We thank you that you are the great physician. And we ask, Lord, that you would give us the medicine that's good for our souls, Lord. We pray, Lord, Father, for our hearts to be open. We pray, Lord, that you would give us a teachable heart and that you can have your way with us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we looked at the parable of John the Atheist, meaning the parable of the Good Samaritan, and we said that God wants us to be merciful people, and we ended off by saying that we become merciful people not by trying harder, but because God works His grace and mercy in our lives. It's something that God does, not something that we do. So today I want to just flesh that out a bit more. Where do I get this idea that it's something that God does from first to start? And I get it from the Beatitudes. So God wants to make us compassionate people when we see people in need, that we won't walk on the other side, but we will give of ourselves, our time, our energy, our possessions to meet those in need around us. Where do I get this from? Matthew 5, verse 3 to 11 are the Beatitudes. And let me just... I'm calling it God's transformation process. How do we become merciful people? In the Beatitudes, I've broken it up into 3 points. People realize their lack. They realize their brokenness, their need, their lack of righteousness in verses 3 to 5. Realizing that, they hunger and thirst for righteousness, verse 6. And verse 10, they become righteous. So there's a transformation process that we see happening in the Beatitudes. So let's look at it one at a time. The first thing for change to occur for us, how many of you want to become a merciful person? Anyway, you can keep your hands down, it's okay. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah. I know I want to be a merciful person because I'm not very much a merciful person. It's so much more easier to walk on the other side. So I want to be compassionate. I want to be a loving person. I want to be a caring person, but I'm not. If you want to be, then listen to what God's word is saying. Okay, the first thing is to realize that we are not. The first thing is to realize that we lack righteousness. Could I get the PowerPoint at the back as well? So, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So normally, if you ask a friend, year sixes, when you ask your friend, who gets to go to heaven? What would they say? They would say, a good person. A good person gets to go to heaven. But that's the wrong answer. That's the wrong answer. It's not true. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they get to go to heaven. So heaven is for those who realize that they lack righteousness. That's what poor in spirit means. People who realize that they are spiritually bankrupt. They have run out of credit. They are like a homeless person who is asking for a handout. They are poor in spirit. So to enter heaven, you come to God and say, Lord, I have nothing to offer to you. There is nothing that I can give you. Please have mercy on me. So heaven is for bad people who realize that they have nothing to offer. Heaven is for bad people who know that there is nothing they can do about it. The problem is that most of us think that we can pass the entrance requirement for heaven. That was the problem with the Pharisees. They thought that superficial keeping of the law was good enough to get them in. Hear what Jesus says in Matthew 5 verse 20. Unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisee and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. So people commonly think, if I don't murder someone, I'm good enough to go to heaven. Jesus says, the requirement is not getting angry at all. People think, if I don't have sex with a person's wife, that's good enough to get me into heaven. Jesus says the requirement is not having lustful thoughts at all. People think, if I love my neighbor, that's good enough to get me into heaven. Jesus says the requirement is to love your enemies, to love the outsider, to love people you don't like. So in short, to enter heaven, you have to be perfect. You have to be flawless. Let me ask you, do you think you meet the requirements? Do you think you are good enough to get into heaven? Are you a perfect person, a flawless person? Friends, all of us are far from perfect. We get angry when we don't get our own way. We struggle with doing the right thing. We have proud thoughts. So have you come to the place where you realize this? Have you come to the place where you realize that you are spiritually bankrupt? that you are not heaven material? If yes, blessed are you. You are blessed. The word blessed means happy. Blessed are you if you realize this. Because many people don't realize this. Many people think they are good enough. The kingdom of heaven is for those people who are bad and they know that there is nothing they can do about it. They know that they fall short of God's righteous requirement. And Jesus says, it is a good thing. You are blessed if you get this. You are blessed. Because it is the first step in the transformation process. What's the next step? The next step is to be sad about it. Most of us want to be happy. We don't like being sad. But God says, being sad about our sinfulness is a good thing. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. When you lose your temper, when you shout at your friend, don't turn around and justify your anger. No, go to your room and mourn your impatience. When your mom tells you to do something that's good for you, and you know it's good for you, and you rebel, don't be happy that you can talk your way out of it. Be sad that you are a rebellious person. The person who mourns is the person who is blessed. Because the seeds of change grow on the fertile soil of a broken person. When God's Spirit convicts you of something, it is a good thing. We ought to receive this ministry of the Holy Spirit and be thankful that God cares for us enough. God cares for us enough to bring it to our attention. That God cares enough of the person, the kind of person that we are becoming. Hear what James says in chapter 4 when speaking to worldly people. Come near to God and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Verse 9, grieve, mourn, wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord and He will lift you up. I can't remember the last time when I was grieved over my sinfulness, my lack of godly character, my lack of righteousness. I'm quick to go to the gospel to claim Christ as my righteousness. That's true, but this passage is saying that mourning is a good thing. It is good to be broken over our lack of character. Because mourning is part of the process by which God makes us more like Jesus. Living stones. We don't want to be a community where we all pretend to be good people. I am a sinner and you are a sinner. We are works in progress. So let's be open and honest with one another. Let us confess our sins to one another so that we can be healed. God has been working in our marriage It's such a personal thing. Who likes to talk about their struggles? But I share it so that you know that we struggle too. Please keep us in your prayers. But I also share it because we have a face-saving culture where people are not able to share deeply. And that is a barrier to real relationships, people being real with one another. If we want to grow close to one another, then we have to go beyond the superficial talk, the polite hellos, and really get to know each other. We need a culture where we won't be judged when we share our darkness and our struggles. We accept one another as imperfect people because God accepts us with all our flaws. We want a church where people are real and not hiding behind masks. A church that is a hospital for sinners and not a museum for saints. And this can only happen if we truly believe the gospel deeply. Because the gospel makes us confident. The gospel helps us not run and hide, but come out in the open. Last week I mentioned this quote by Tim Keller. It says this: we are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. Yet at the same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. So we are all worse than we think. But because of Jesus, we are loved and accepted by God. So the gospel gives us comfort. We can look at ourselves in the mirror, see our faults, our failures, our lack of character, and yet be secure at the same time. The gospel both humbles us and the gospel gives us boldness and confidence. So what happens next? Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Just as an aside, whenever the Bible talks of the kingdom of God, it has two aspects, a now and a not yet. And we see that in the first and last beatitude, it says, there is the kingdom of God. There is the kingdom of heaven. It's something that we have now. We can have assurance. It is ours. But the rest of the Beatitudes in between says that they will. So for example, it says they will inherit the earth. So there are aspects that we experience now, but the fullness of this promise is realized when Jesus returns and his people reign with him in the new heavens and the new earth. How much, it's hard to work out how much applies now and how much is not yet. But coming back to the next beatitude, being broken over our sinfulness, our lack of righteousness, mourning over our failures and faults is a good thing because it makes us meek. It makes us humble. Having a true appreciation of our wretchedness and God's mercy upon us. To be meek, what does it mean to be meek? It's humbled, but it also means that we are teachable. We are open. We are open to correction. James 1:21 says, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Receive with meekness God's word. Let me ask you, when you come to God's word, do you sit over it and judge what it is saying? Or do you sit under it and allow it to judge the thoughts and the intents of your heart? If you have been broken, if you have recognized your spiritual poverty, if you have mourned your lack of righteousness, then you will become meek and you will be open to God's dealings with you. You can say, Lord, I am a mess. You are wise. You are good. I will listen to you. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. See, God's plan for our lives is not to give us a passport and then we are in heaven. God's plan for our lives is to conform us into the likeness of His Son. So the next step is for us to desire that. Verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Let's be honest. When was the last time you and I longed to be righteous? If you are like me, we are content to be the same. Same old, same old. Boredom is a sign of spiritual stagnation when there is no desire to be like Jesus. I'm sure all of us are aware of our shortcomings, the areas that we struggle with. Do we wrestle with it in our thoughts and then just put it aside and forget about it? Or do we come before God regularly and say, Lord, this is an issue. I'm jealous. I'm struggling with jealousy. Lord, this is an issue. I'm struggling with my temper. Do we honestly long to be righteous? Do we honestly desire that our character will become more Christ-like? If we do, we are blessed. We are blessed. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. So bring it before God in prayer, asking God to change us. And if you're serious, be open with your cell group members. Tell them this area that you're struggling in. Ask them to pray for you. Or your friends, or your spouse. And if you're really, really, really serious, fast. Skip a meal. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Fasting is a way of being broken before God. Of saying, God, I am empty. Come and fill me with your character. I cannot change myself. I cannot overcome this issue. Help me. That's why we pray, God, change me to be more like you, because we can't change ourselves. And God's promise is that if we long and if we desire for righteousness, we will be filled. We will become righteous. Our character will change. We will become merciful people. It'll take time, but if we are open to God's dealings with us, if we mourn our lack of righteousness, if we desire to be righteous, then God's Spirit will make us righteous. Verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. So there's a progression. How did the person become a merciful person? By realizing that God has been merciful to him. By realizing that we are spiritually bankrupt, we have nothing we can offer to God, and yet God has given us the kingdom as a gift. Not something we deserve, an undeserved gift. So the Spirit convicts us of our sinfulness. We are humbled. We long to be more righteous. And then God changes us. But notice that throughout this process, it's not that we are earning the kingdom. The kingdom is ours throughout the process. It says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven in verse 3, the first beatitude. And in verse 10, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Heaven is not something we earn. It is an undeserved gift. Notice in verse 10 that the person who longs to be righteous, in verse 10, becomes righteous, and that's why he is persecuted. Now that might not sound like a motivating thought. But he is falsely persecuted. People speak falsely against him. So on one hand, there are those who will be unhappy, uncomfortable because you are so righteous. But on the other hand, there will be those who are drawn to you because you are salt and light of the world. And they will be drawn to you and they will come and worship your God. So it's going to work both ways. Notice in verse 7, it says, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. See, the fruit of the gospel is that you become a merciful person. Calvin spoke a few weeks ago about the parable of the unmerciful servant. And the point of the parable is that God has shown us so much mercy that we naturally are merciful to others. God has forgiven our debt, which was huge, and so we forgive others who sin against us. But if we don't show mercy to others, then we won't be shown mercy by God. And we get this in Matthew 6:14. Jesus says, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. I remember at college, one of my classmates spoke on this parable and on forgiveness. And the main point, the big idea was this. The forgiven, forgive. The forgiven, forgive. But we mustn't read this wrongly. Our default mindset is to have a works orientation. We can get insecure. Oh, will I lose my salvation if I'm an unmerciful person? Oh, what if I'm unforgiving? What if I find it hard to forgive someone else? Don't feel that. That's not the point. The point is that God's goal in saving us is to change us, to be more like Jesus. He wants to transform us. Yes, we will struggle. Of course, we will struggle to forgive some people. But our desire is to forgive, to show mercy. So we keep asking God to help us. And He does. So let me summarize. The Beatitudes are character qualities for followers of Jesus. And today we've looked at how does God transform us, God's transformation process, and especially looking at how we become a merciful person. So the first thing is we realize, we are aware that we lack righteousness, we are poor in spirit. Then we mourn, we are sad, we are grieved that we are not the person God wants us to be. And then we are broken, we are humbled, we are teachable, we are open for God's dealing in our lives. We long to be righteous, and then God works in us to make us righteous. And one aspect of that is making us merciful people. Because being a merciful person is being Christ-like. Remember Jesus often when you read the Gospels, he sees people, he sees the crowd, and he's moved by compassion. He's moved by their needs. He feeds them, he heals them, he teaches them, he's moved by their needs. So God's goal is to make us more like Jesus. So let's pray that God will make us merciful people, people who are moved by compassion. So let me close by asking you some questions or saying these things. If you think that you are not good enough to go to heaven, Jesus says to you that heaven is for bad people who know that there is nothing they can do about it. If you are struggling with your flaws and failures and feeling miserable, be encouraged. Mourning and being broken over our lack of character is a good thing, and it is part of God's process of changing us. If you lack desire to be more like Jesus and are content to be bad, ask God to give us desire. So don't feel that you have to work this desire. If you don't have desire, ask God to give us this desire. Friends, being broken, mourning, confessing our sins, hungering for righteousness, being merciful, this is the life that God says is blessed. These are the values that are important to God. It's totally opposite to what we normally think. It's totally opposite to what the world thinks. But Jesus says, this is the happy life. This is the blessed life. Because this person is the one who receives the kingdom as a gift. This is not an easy sermon for me to preach, because all of us find it hard, isn't it? So let's pray and ask God to help us. Father, help us to see brokenness as a good thing. Help us, Lord, to see that mourning over our sinfulness, our lack of character, is a good thing. Father, please put in us desire, Lord. Put in us desire to be who you have called us to be. Father, we thank you that, it is something that you do by your Spirit. And so we ask, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to do that work in our hearts. Lord, we want to be changed. We want to be compassionate. We want to be loving. We want to be merciful. So we ask, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to understand the mercy that you have shown us, that you love us despite all our flaws and failures. And Father, we ask, Lord, that your Spirit would continue to transform us to be more like your Son. We pray this, Lord, and we ask it because it is good for us. And Lord, we know that it will glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.